Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, big night in Philadelphia sports. Sixers back at it. Seventh time making the playoffs with Joel Embiid. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. All right, Elliot, let's start Sixers, then we'll go Eagles. So we had a poll result yesterday. 82% of people say they'd rather have Joel than Jimmy tonight. Did people get that right, or did they get that wrong?
They got it right, but I think the fact that it was, what, 12% or something like that said Jimmy?
22.
22%.
Or, no, 18. 18% said Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, well, whatever it is. I mean, the fact that speaks to why Joel really, really, really needs to show up and win tonight. Because Joel Embiid is 10 times the player that Jimmy Butler is right now. But because of what's happened in the postseason, a large percentage of people, a non-small percentage of people, trust Jimmy in a big spot more than Joel, and that's because of the playoff history of both of them. So obviously having Joel is the better player. That's who they should vote for, and that's the correct outcome. But tonight is about proving why that should be 100% and not 88%, whatever it was.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, look, the reality is Jimmy has done so much more in the postseason than Joel has. I mean, he just has. And as a guard/small forward type, he gets to control the tempo of the game in a way centers don't. And, you know, Jimmy's imprint on playoff basketball, I mean, when he goes full tilt, man, he's incredible. Yeah, I mean, and Joel's never done it. He's never done it yet.
Their reputations are their reputations for a reason. And I think, like with any narrative, it can be slightly over the top, but it's based in truth. And, you know, as much as I've defended the Sixers and I think that their playoff achievements are somewhat diminished because we're just used to them always making it to the second round. The reality is, nationally, I think most people would say Jimmy is clutch and Joel is not. So tonight is about proving that wrong.
Do you think this season's going to be different this postseason, Elliot? I mean, what do you project? It could be the next 2 days. It could be the next 2 months. What do you see for the 76ers this spring and hopefully summer?
Yeah, so I've been so burned by this team and believing them the past few years, it's really hard for me to go all in just because I did think last year they had a great chance and they came close. And there's been years when they've been the better team. So there is a reality that it might not matter they're the better team. They could lose tonight despite being the better team. But I think whenever making a prediction, you have to just look at the facts. And the facts are they are the better team. And I'll take my chances on consistently betting on the better team. So I think they're better than the Heat. I think when you look at the Eastern Conference, the only team I think that's better than them is Boston. The Knicks are very good, and that is a tough matchup. But ultimately, the Sixers, with Joel, have an argument for being the best team in the league. So I think that this is going to get out of the second round just because they're better, I think, than they have been in past years. But I completely understand people that are skeptical.
Let's talk a little bit about that press conference yesterday, Elliot. What is the hang up with the Hassan Reddick thing? It seemed, again, like a sore spot. What's going on?
Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, Howie kind of had that reaction to the follow up question. Howie is normally so good in these press conferences at not showing emotion and not kind of letting things get under his skin. I think that with the Hassan trade, I would imagine that Howie knows it's a trade that's been criticized heavily. People have really questioned why he did it. And, you know, I think that that's why he got annoyed by it. But I understand why people are skeptical of it. Hassan Reddick is a great player that they traded away. Now, a year from now, could we look at this and say, wow, they got Bryce Huff, who ended up being just as good of a pass rusher as Hassan, and a second-round pick? Yeah, that's certainly possible. But I think Howie, in his reaction to that, I mean, he should understand why people are skeptical of the trade he made.
There was a thoughtfulness to that Cam Jurgens answer yesterday, you know, talking about the interconnectedness. And it really reminds us as fans, the Eagles take a different approach from other teams in the league. This is a different approach than what I was accustomed to as a player. Are other teams around the NFL striving for this same level of interconnectedness. Like, is this a new thing everywhere, or is this just a Howie special here in Philadelphia that's paying dividends?
You mean in terms of Cam learning from people around him?
Yeah, not just learning from stories, but learning from the actual legend himself. That really is taking it a step further.
Or is it just circumstantial and it's a convenient thing to say in a press conference? You know, you happen to draft Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter because Fletcher Cox was getting older, and it's just, you know, one or two guys replaces another one or two guys.
So I think it's probably a bit of both. I do know they genuinely believe in the fact that having these veteran players bring along younger players matters. I mean, look at Brandon Graham still being on the roster. I mean, Brandon's still a good player, but ultimately I think his value to the team this year is as a leader and as someone to mentor younger players. So they are kind of putting their money where their mouth is with that. But in terms of the Cam thing and Jordan Davis and all that, my biggest takeaway yesterday was that they seem very ready and willing to draft someone that won't be a starter this year. And I understand that if Lane goes down or Jordan goes down, or if you look at corner and, you know, Darius Slay goes down, that player becomes more valuable. So I don't think it's completely a logical pick. I just can't get behind the idea that learning for a year or even two full years as a rookie, as a first round pick, is a good use of that resource. So ultimately in 3 years or 2 years, if that player is better for having learned from Lane or Darius Slay, then yes, I get it. But it's such a tough use of a resource to have someone sit for a full year as a first round pick.
So you had a chance to be there in a whatever face-to-face type capacity with Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. Does it feel different this year now that we know that Nick's role has changed? When you sat there and you interacted, how is Nick interacting, if it's any different from previous seasons?
So I've been around him a few times this offseason now, and I don't sense any difference. I understand that, you know, on the outside, it's viewed as, you know, Nick had power stripped away and he's a puppet and they don't believe in him. That's just never been the sense I've gotten, even at the end of the year and especially since then. So, you know, being at the press conference yesterday, Nick didn't talk a ton, but I think that that's mostly because it's more of a Howie Roseman press conference. I think that even if, you know, Nick was coming off winning the Super Bowl and I think it would have been the same type of dynamic. So no, I don't pick up or sense any difference in how Nick is acting or how they're treating Nick, you know, since the season ended.
You know, Elliot, Howie really leans into this jokey thing more and more these days.
Yep.
I mean, it's, I got to say, as someone who's an Eagles fan and, you know, it's kind of irritating, in my opinion. There are times and there are places, and I feel like it's quite a lot lately.
Yeah.
There's no question in there. It's just your turn to talk because it's like, come on, guys. Enough of the jokey.
Well, so we really want to analyze into it, right? Just take that leap. I do think part of it is there's this perception about Howie that he doesn't, this started a few years ago, that he doesn't get along with people in the building and that there's always an issue with the head coach.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of reporting about, you know, the dynamic. So when him and Nick are up there, I don't think it's forced because Nick genuinely is someone that very much gets along with everybody. But I think it benefits Howie to be up there and to show that he does get along with people and that they have a good relationship and that they joke around. So I agree with you that there are definitely times where, you know, you can tell he's almost not listening to a question. He just has a joke ready to go. But I do think that because of how Howie's perceived, it's probably good for some people to see him in that light.
You know, Elliot, another thing, and I agree with your answer there entirely, something that it stood out to me recently and it was reaffirmed yesterday. I don't know if there's anyone else that has thought this. And, Elliot, I'm curious if you have. So a couple times Howie has spoken in recent years about retaining some of these veteran players. Kelsey, who obviously got to the end of his career here in Philly. Fletcher Cox got to the end of his career here. Now Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson are the next litmus test. But, you know, Brandon Graham being the bigger one because he's older and not as good right now as Lane. I have a theory, Elliot, that Lurie and Howie, because of the Brian Dawkins thing in the March of 2009, never want something like that to happen again. And I'm just curious if you have connected those dots, because when I listen, and I listen very carefully to what Howie says, I hear a guy who reports to a guy who's afraid to ever have one of those things happen again where an all-time Eagle who's been here his whole career leaves near the end. Have you thought of that?
So I think there's definitely some truth to it. I do think that it matters to the Eagles to have these guys play their career out. Now, in terms of how much maybe they feel for that, that comes from the Dawkins thing, it is an interesting observation. And there is, I could see that connection. Now, I do think that with the play.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're talking about, it's helpful that Kelce has been a great player.
That's right.
Yep. You know, Fletcher had that one down year, but he was, you know, arguably their best defensive lineman if you take into account overall play and not just the pass rush. And then Lane is still a very good player. So Brandon would probably be a little more of the example of holding on to a guy. But, you know, I just don't know if that's a bad thing. Like, as much as you want to make every decision about the roster strictly off of football, the reality is they are a business. And there are millions of people that care about this team and these players. So, you know, if having Brandon Graham play one more year instead of going to play for, you know, the Saints or the Broncos or whatever for a year means a roster spot, I think it makes sense because the Dawkins thing is something that so clearly hurt fans and was a bad decision. I think it's okay to sometimes use, you know, emotion when making decisions at the final few years of a player's career.
All right, Elliot, final thing here. So huge story out, and you know about this. A lot of people listening right now may not. New story out this morning, ESPN.com, about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Entitled Voted Off the Island. Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. Tons of information. I have not read it all yet, but there is a section in here that talks about Belichick and the Eagles. I know you've consumed this. We'll present it in greater detail to our audience after this interview, but let me just say this, Elliot. Fascinating reporting by ESPN indicating that the Eagles were legitimately considering hiring Belichick, and that perhaps the main reason why they did not was the belief that if Belichick was only going to coach for two more years, and that's an if he was only going to coach for two more years to break Shula's record, it just wouldn't be worth upsetting the whole apple cart to go from Sirianni to Belichick to pivot to someone else in 2026 or whatever year it would be, and that was the reason not going there. What do you make of it?
Yeah, that, you know, to me, it read a lot like how when there's a free agent, the Eagles do all their homework on that free agent and are always involved till the end, even if maybe their overall interest level isn't as strong as it perceives. The Eagles are a team that do a ton of research on guys. So when I read that article, it sounded to me like they did their homework on Bill Belichick. And obviously, they did that because they were considering moving on from Sirianni. You know, I don't think they would have done any research on Belichick if Sirianni was coming off the Super Bowl in 2022. So they did research for a reason. But what was telling to me was once doing that research, and in there it says, you know, how he called Belichick, it emphasized in there that they didn't talk about the job, but I think it's noteworthy they talked on the phone. Lurie spoke to people about Belichick. What I just think is interesting is it seems the report they got back about him was not a positive one. They, you know, it wasn't, you know, this is a guy you have to hire. He's still such a great coach. He's awesome to work with. And this is why I always thought hiring Belichick would be a mistake for all the reasons laid out in that article. I think he only cares about the 15 wins. I don't think he's easy to get along with anymore. And I don't think his players like playing for him. So the article is certainly interesting. And it sounds like Belichick really wanted the job, but I'm not surprised after doing their homework, the Eagles passed on him.
You know, the addendum to it just offhand is what it says about Sirianni, that he probably did almost get fired. He's halfway on the plank before this season starts.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with that assessment, but I mean, like I said, they wouldn't have done this coming off of 2022. That's, you know, the best way I think you
can
put it. I do think that if you do research on Belichick, because he's Belichick, but, you know, there hasn't been a ton coming out about them calling like every other head coach that's available. I think Belichick is just such an interesting case it does make sense to look into it.
Elliot, nice
because
work, buddy.
Sirianni's job status, yeah. Yep, talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, man. There he is, Elliot. It's right off the face. All right, talk to you later. All right, all good. All right, we got a lot up ahead here, including more on this story. We'll give you the specifics that are reported in this story, plus John Tortorella after the game last night, what he said about the Flyer season, and the Jimmy Butler thing. We've always wondered, like, we still wonder why is Hassan Reddick not an Eagle. What exactly happened between Jimmy Butler and the Sixer? Why is he a Heat tonight instead of a Sixer?